How do you chart a landscape that's nearly 239,000 miles away? Today marks the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 launch. KUER's Elaine Clark spoke with Stansberry Park resident and retired physicist Jim Taylor about how he helped map the moon.
The basic problem that NASA had to solve was to find a place on the moon flat enough that the astronauts could safely land and take off again. I was working in Ohio for a company called Data Corporation. Data Corporation's expertise was in reconnaissance and surveillance. In particular, we were making maps from aerial photographs. And because of our experience, they brought the problem to us, and they made me the head of the team that actually made the maps.
What were some of the challenges to accomplish this task?
To get a good idea of what we were doing, there was no such thing as digital photography. So the lunar orbiter took pictures, and the pictures were scanned with a light beam and a photocell and sent back as an analog signal by FM radio to the folks at Jet Propulsion Lab in California. And they took the analog signal and recorded it on 35-millimeter film. And we got the 35-millimeter film with the dissected images. Richard Pratt, who was the mathematical genius of our team, devised a scheme where he could create a 3D version of each strip of film. So he wrote a mathematical transformation, and now we had a 3D image of the moon in digital form. We had to make contour maps from the digital images so that we could print a map for the astronauts that said, this place is bumpy, this place is smooth, this place has got steep cliffs. My task was to devise a technique to go running along this digital image and create the contours. Then how do we print this thing? Well, we ended up with a print train whose largest dot was a tenth of an inch square and whose smallest dot was about a 64th of an inch square. So we finally were able to print strips as large as they were. And then we had a problem, okay, where do we put it together? So we took all our printouts down to the school. We spread them out on the floor in the assembly area and taped them together. Now we had a 20-foot square picture sitting on the floor of this elementary school. And a photographer took his view camera up into the bell tower and photographed our moon maps and then sent them to the Air Chart and Information Center in St. Louis, Missouri, where they finally ended up printing the actual maps that the astronauts used.
I was thinking about the old cartographer's maps, right?
Here there be dragons.
Here there be dragons. Were you sort of practicing in the legacy of those old adventurers?
Yes, in a way. In order for somebody to sail around South America, somebody had to build a boat. Somebody had to provide food. If you've seen the movie Hidden Figures, the ladies in Houston who were calculating how to get there, how to get back, there was so many people involved. Everybody who was working on the thing is just doing their very, very best to bring the guys back.
How do you think America was thinking about exploration at the time?
Jack Kennedy was young and handsome, and everybody adored him. And he said, we're going to put a man on the moon. And everybody said, yeah, we're Americans. We can do anything. And then Kennedy was murdered. And yes, all of those who were involved in the Apollo project followed John Kennedy's vision all the way to the moon and back. And then we started worrying about all kinds of things other than exploration. We could have been on Mars in the 80s easily, but the spirit was gone.
Does exploration matter?
We celebrate Lewis and Clark and people like that because they made the world bigger. The Apollo project represent the highest aspirations. What's it say? A man's reach must exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? We didn't have to put a man on the moon, but it was something we could all work together for a single goal and do our absolutely very best at everything we knew how to do. And we did it. We need to recover that spirit.